Morning, Tony. Good to have you on the show today.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, it's a bit of a dilemma, all of this stuff for young people. I remember being 16, and remember being the only thing that I actually wanted to do was get away from school because I really didn't like it. But school is a bit different these days, and the options for students getting past the age 16 with education, there are far more options, aren't there?
There are, and I think the most important word you use there is options, because for many young people, school and A levels is a brilliant option, but it's not the right option for everyone. And so what I think the role of further education is to give other options. And I'm really proud that at my college we have around 2,000 16 to 18 year olds study with us every year, and they are studying alternatives to A levels. And again, it's about working with schools to find the right opportunity, the right subject, and the right way of studying for that young person.
Yeah, just to get this into context, you're actually principal of Nescot, which is, for want of a better word, an alternative to sixth form college, if I'm right.
Yes, so Nescot North East Surrey College of Technology, as I said, we have several thousand 16 to 18 year olds, but what a lot of people don't realise is that we actually train a lot of adults as well. A lot of people over the age of 18 who are retraining, upskilling, we work with employers. So we're very much a community for lifelong learning as well as for 16 to 18 year olds.
Yeah, now, I mean, education again has advanced in how it operates, how it's funded, and many, many other things. It all used to be under the one umbrella of the County Council, and it was all funded by the state. Not so anymore, because you're actually a charity, aren't you?
So further education colleges, yeah, they are run in the public interest and are what are called exempt charities. So we have to abide by Charity Commission legislation, and the money that we are able to generate through fees, some of which are fees that come from the Department for Education, from government, some of which may come from employers, businesses, all of that money goes back into ensuring we can invest in new equipment, new facilities, so that we can give our students the best possible learning opportunities.
It's kind of a tough ask these days with the way that the world is, certainly with finances and all the rest of it. I mean, how do you manage with that?
It is tough, and you're absolutely right. And if you take an area that we deliver in, so we deliver a lot of courses in construction. And if you think over the last few years how just the cost of timber or copper for plumbing, how much that's gone up, so how much our budgets for materials have gone up when perhaps our funding hasn't gone up at the same rate. So there's always challenges, but the absolute priority has to be how do we ensure that our students come out of college and that they are work ready and that they've got the skills and qualifications to move into a job.
Yeah, I like the phrase work ready there, because it was always the case that many, many employers taking on school leavers, whatever age, always said that the education system wasn't fit for purpose in getting students or young people ready for work. But you've just made the point that it's one of the key things that you do.
Definitely, and there's been a real push by government the last sort of decade around improving links between colleges and employers. And I'm really proud at my college that we're working really closely with a whole range of employers, from very large employers like Toyota, AtkinsRéalis, the Jockey Club, who are just up the road from us, all the way through to small and medium-sized enterprises in the local area. And what we're doing is we're working with them to help us look at our curriculum, to set live projects for our students. I'm so proud that with the Epsom Derby coming up, our students are working on a project with the Jockey Club, which will give our students, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work on, you know, the most prestigious horse race in the world. So those links with employers are key to making sure our students are work ready.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely brilliant news. The other thing that strikes me with all of this is that once upon a time, you either did A level or you went to a tech college, and you learnt some sort of trade or otherwise. I mean, all those basics are still there, but on top of all of that, you've got all of the new technologies. How do you keep up with it all?
It's tough, you're right, and it's expensive. I'll give you a couple of examples. We've got a fantastic department here teaching in motor vehicle. And up until 18 months ago, we didn't have any electric or hybrid vehicles here because of the cost. The cost to have those vehicles, not just the cars, but all the diagnostics equipment, was huge. We were lucky enough to be in receipt of some funding from the Department for Education for £250,000. That enabled us to get that new technology in, to be able to be teaching what industry requires going forward. And probably a second example of that is we have recently received more funding to invest in what we call immersive classrooms, which are where you're using virtual reality headsets, where you're using simulators to be able to give students experiences that we just couldn't afford, or from an insurance or a health and safety perspective, we couldn't necessarily run in the same way. That's really exciting.
It's frightening to someone like me. AI is just one of those things that, well, it's there, but it doesn't affect me. But of course it does, but it affects the younger generations that much more because they're the ones that are going to be taking it forward, aren't they?
Definitely. And I think what you were saying about being frightened by it, that's the interesting thing. I think some of this artificial intelligence, it's both terrifying and exciting. Mm. And so the opportunity is to look at the positive sides of it, but also be protecting from the dangers. So we are part of what's called an Institute of Technology, working with the universities of Sussex, Brighton and Chichester College Group. And that includes whole courses we're looking at hacking. Now, nobody wants to have their business or their, you know, personal information hacked. So we have to teach students how to hack to then learn how to prevent that happening. And that's, you know, I will confess, when we had to speak to our director of IT and said we were going to be teaching hacking, he did look very nervous. But we've had to have whole new servers and whole new protective systems put in place. But sadly, you know, cyber threats and cyber attacks are one of the biggest threats that we as a society face day in, day out. We must train people to be able to prevent and combat these kind of attacks.
That's a frightening glimpse of things to come, I think. The thing you mentioned earlier on about when you were talking about the electric vehicles and stuff made me think, do you actually get any input from the actual car manufacturers themselves, because what you're doing is actually going to be for their benefit? Do they actually help in any way, shape or form with what you're actually doing?
Yes, definitely. And it's not just the actual individual car manufacturers, it's also some of the very specialist companies whose, you know, names might not be household names, but they're making some of the diagnostics equipment that's used. You know, no longer if you have an electric car, you know, do you drive and someone goes in a pit and has a look underneath it? You know, you're opening the bonnet and plugging it in and it's diagnosing issues that way. So we're also working with companies that are making that kit. And I'm really proud that we've recently established really strong links with Toyota, who are based just up the road, because they are at the cutting edge of new technology development, and they're who we need to be working with going forwards to ensure we are training people with the right skills.
Yeah, there's a whole conversation about Toyota and which direction they're going in, which we're not going to go into right now, hybrid or electric and all the rest of it, but there's certainly a conversation there to be had. But I'm going to go back now to the front page, well, to one of the pages on your website, which actually explains or gives headlines, should I say, to things that are open to potential students, courses for school leavers, part-time adult courses, for distance learning, university-level courses, Institute of Technology, apprenticeships. It's just about everything you could want, isn't there?
Yeah, everything. That's what I love about further education. It's the variety of courses that we offer. And at Nescot, we offer everything from, we have a childcare nursery, so we are caring for, you know, 0 to 5 year olds, all the way through to we deliver a master's degree in osteopathy and everything in between. And I think that's what makes further education colleges really exciting, the community of learners we bring together.
It looks like a whole bunch of fun, really, and nothing that I ever experienced when I was younger comes anywhere close to this kind of experience. The choice is stunning.
And you know, there's not many further education colleges that have a farm. that have my favourite college animal, our iguana, Hercules.
Hercules the iguana. Yeah. I love it.
And we acquired two alpacas last week. So,
oh, that's more like it.
Yeah. Again, really great, Ken. A lot of young people are very interested in working outside or interested working with animals or in rural areas. And again, it's giving them that opportunity to hands-on learn.
That's a really, really great thing. And all of this, is most of this free to students, or is there a contributory factor that they have to sort of, well, contribute towards?
So 16 to 18-year-olds, pretty much everything is fully funded in the same way as if you were studying A-levels at sixth form. We obviously as well teach a significant number of apprenticeships. We do have some commercial courses. They are more aimed at adults or businesses, supporting them with their learners. But another thing that's available to learners that sadly isn't always taken up as much as I'd like it to is adult learner loans. Mm. We have quite a lot of adult learners who will come to us as career changers. Maybe they've had children or care responsibilities and they're now thinking of going back to their career. And so we teach teacher training, counselling, and some of those courses are where students might take on an adult student loan to be able enable them to study and go into those really important professions. We also teach in access to nursing and healthcare, so really vital professions for the economy, and that really suit people that, as I said, are looking to retrain or upskill later in life.
Yeah, I'm just sort of mind blown by some of the stuff you're talking about, because it's such a wide range of stuff, and you think, who on earth came up with the idea that we can put all this lot under one umbrella? But you do, and I seriously take my hat off to you for being able to just reel off this stuff. It's just incredible.
Thank you. It's what makes my job, I think, one of the best jobs in the world. It's at the end of the day, I've got a responsibility to keep, you know, several thousand students safe every day, to make sure they have the best quality education. But also, what a privilege to play a part in enabling people of all ages to realise their dreams. And a story that always resonates with me is a student we had here a couple of years ago who came from had very significant challenges with dyslexia, came from a specialist school, studied a level 3 in art with us, and she was accepted to study fine art at the University of Oxford. And her mantra was, why not me? And I think that's really powerful. That's what we can do for our students. Let them ask the question, why not me? And then enable them to say, yes, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing sounds phenomenal to me. You've got a couple of things coming up. I'm going to come back to the open evening, which is in a week or so's time. But before then, I'm looking to say, one of the other things that is on your website is a thing called the Summer Fair. What is that? Why would a college have a Summer Fair?
It's basically the best day out in Surrey on the 15th of June, to give it a plug, at the college from 10 o'clock. It is a celebration of everything we do as a college. It's about opening our gates to the community and inviting them in to showcase what we do. One of the highlights for me is we have a dog show, which I used my non-existent skills of judging a dog show to be assistant head judge. We invite the Rotary Club, local charities in so that they can showcase what they're doing. Last year we had a marching band that some of our students were in. Our business students run charity car washes, cake sales. It is a day of pure joy and fun. And for me, it's a celebration of everything we do. And this year, for me, it's really special because it's our 70th anniversary. So the fair will have a bit of a 70th theme to it.
It's been running for a little while. I can see that. Details can be got at nescot.ac.uk. The other thing that you've got that is going to showcase some of what you do and is basically for anybody interested in attending the college is your next open evening, which is on Wednesday the 22nd of May.
Yeah, and I again would encourage anyone that's interested, you're never too young to come and look round. You know, we'll sometimes have families coming round with children that are still, you know, coming to the end of primary school, that have already got an inkling or an idea about what they might be interested in. come along, have a look round, see our facilities, talk to the amazing team of teaching staff and support staff, because I genuinely believe we have a fantastic array of opportunities here. And the most important thing to me, as I said at the start of this conversation, is I want people to have choices. Whether their choice is to come to us or to stay at school, it's about not looking back and thinking, I wish I'd done that. Let's let people decide before it's too late what's best for them.
One final question. Did you always want to teach?
Do you know, I'm not a teacher. My background is not teaching. Background is marketing. And I went in, came into education about 12 years ago, and I love it. I cannot think of a better job, and I take my hat off to all of our incredible teachers. But no, my background is something very, very different.
Reason I ask is because at 16, would you have thought of going to the sort of college that you are now CEO of and got it right first time? In other words, did you always know this is where you wanted to end up?
That's such a good question. I grew up 5 minutes from this college, and I drove past it every single day on my way to school, and I had no idea what went on here. I'm ashamed to say it. You know, I came from a generation where you went to school, you did A-levels, and you went to university.
Yep, that's the one.
And actually, I went to university to study fashion, and I left after 6 weeks, which was, you know, pretty difficult decision to ring my parents up and say, I've made a mistake. So I have taken a bit of a change. And for me, my kids are 11 and 13. And if you said to me, would I be proud if at 16 they walked through the doors of this college, I would have the biggest smile on my face and be really proud. If that was the right choice for them. As I said, it's about giving young people choices. But I would be incredibly proud for my boys to say that they were students at Nescot.
Well, the college celebrates 70 years, or celebrated 70 years, 1953 to 2023. We're now in the 71st year. And as far as I can see, the college is in wonderful hands with a CEO who's absolutely passionate about everything that the college does. Julie, it's been wonderful to catch up with you today. The details of all of this will be at the susieradio.com website very, very shortly. Julie Capps-Alice, thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Tony. Come and visit us soon.
I will do.